hole in there.
All right. And before I read it, I do want to say something because I sometimes am vexed with myself. Now, quite often I am vexed with the world, but sometimes I'm vexed with myself. I had one thing in mind, and it turned into another thing in mind, and then it turned into another thing in mind. I've gone through three different scripture references to get here. Although this was one of the original scripture references I was going to go to, this is kind of what's turned into the message, and if it doesn't go right, it's my fault. Not anybody else's. I might as well believe in owning my own failures because I'm very good at it. But I just wanted to say that for this. What I want to read is Mark chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Now, as I said, I started out thinking about doing something else. And then I ended up thinking about doing something else from that. And then I kind of ended up back to here, which is sort of what I started out thinking about. I wanted to talk about believing. And I wanted to talk a little bit about unbelief. Well, here we got both in the same man. But when you want to talk about believing, I got to thinking, Walter, about faith. And then one of the things that Walter has mentioned, Earl mentioned it, and then also I think I heard Jim mention it on there. The word in the Bible that is translated faith is a noun. There is no verb form of faith in the English language. But in the Greek language there is, and that's what you get a lot of times translated as believe. Now, believe in our language means a lot of things. Yeah. It can mean a wish. It can mean a hope. It can just be what you think. The scriptural version of believing is not what we think. It is the verb form of faith. It is actually having faith. Having faith at this time. He has faith. But you do believe certain things. You know certain things, but it is not a wish, it is not a thought, it is not, it's what we do. Whereas the faith of God's elect is a noun, and it is the gift of God. Because a lot of places use faith and believing as synonyms, as if they're the same exact thing, and they're not. So, I picked these two verses, and I went all over the place, and I come back to these two verses. Now, this is the story, the true account of one. They brought this man to him whose son was possessed by a deaf and dumb spirit. They brought him to Christ. And the disciples tried to exorcise it, but they couldn't. So they brought him to Christ. And Christ said, well, in verse 21, he asked the father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he says, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, this was Christ's answer to the Father, if thou canst believe, all things possible to him that believeth. Now, the first thing that I wanted to bring up here, this is not a rhetorical question by Christ. When he asked, if thou canst believe, he meant, if thou canst believe. People who read this and preachers who preach this preach it as a rhetorical question because they say, of course you can believe. Everybody can believe. If you look at the Greek, it is the verb form of the word pistis, the verb form of the noun faith. This is true believing. If thou canst believe. Therefore, not everyone can believe. This is not a rhetorical question. It's a real question, and Christ asked it of this man. And that man had to answer it. Walter, I thought about those in John 10. Where Christ said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. He didn't even ask him if they can. He didn't ask him if they could. He didn't ask him if they would. Because he knew they cannot. Because they were not of his sheep. This man, he did ask, if thou canst believe. If you can. Why is that important? Because if you can believe, it means that God has given you faith. Believing, having faith, in Christ is the result of the faith of God given by Christ to the sinner. That's the order. There is an order. You can't have faith until God gives you faith. I know that sounds simple, but it is simple. And the answer to this question is, this guy could, Walter. Christ didn't say everybody can. He was asking if this guy can. Bad English, but it works. Because the scripture does not teach that everyone can. Christ asked a question because there was a yes answer and there was a no answer. Now, Christ knew the answer to the question before he asked it. But in order that we might know, he asked the question and it was recorded here. And I hesitate to go into the next phrase, Walter, because I wrote a bunch of stuff on this. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. There are whole denominations that right there, just the back half of that phrase, the back half of that verse, is their theology. And that's the only theology they want. And that's the only theology they espouse. And if you don't follow that, you don't have enough faith. I mean, I with that as the background for your theology, or the basis of your theology, that everything is dependent upon your believing. See, everything's not dependent upon Christ. That's the result. If everything's dependent upon my believing, it's not so much dependent upon Christ. Well, they'll say it's important on who you believe, but then they'll tell you who to believe, and it's not the Christ of the Bible. It's somebody else. And you will end up, these churches do end up, because there's one in Princeton right now that has a saying on the sign outside, "You must open the door to your heart so Christ can come in." That's their theology. That's what they teach. That's what they preach. And that's what they believe. But that is not having faith in Christ, because that's not the Christ of the Bible. You don't have to invite Christ in. He'll come in. He comes to the dead sinner and gives life. He gives it, and they have it. And he gives faith, and they have faith. It is because of him, all of it. The other one down the road from that one says, "Grace Factory Outlet." They're so proud of that one, they put that on both sides. Well, it's okay. They think they can manufacture some grace. That's not grace. The church is not an outlet store for Christ. I'm sorry. That's what we call a bad analogy. The church is the body of Christ, chosen by him. Before the world began, they were chosen in him, and they were chosen to salvation. They were chosen to give life to. They were chosen to give faith to. They were chosen to hear the gospel of their salvation. And they do, because of his work and his working. And Walter, I thought about this poor guy with this, his son, who had had this son, and this had been happening. Now, I don't know exactly, I don't remember exactly if it says that how old this kid was, but he's had this, his son had had this problem since he was a child. But this problem brought that father face to face with Jesus Christ. It did. And I thought, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And I'm sorry, Norval Mann was wrong. It ain't all good things. It's all things. All things are possible to him that believes. That is true. But Christ is not saying all things will happen to him that believes, or only all good things will happen to you if you believe. That's not what he says. All things that happen to him will be for his good if he believes. But all things are possible to him that has faith, to him that believes. Because the faith is in Christ, with whom all things are possible. Christ is not teaching that believing makes anything so. And that's the way that's taught today. Your believing it makes it so. Even though, and this is the the irony, the contradiction in other people's theology that I find so fascinating, sometimes very humorous and sometimes very angrily. They will, and I know I'm kind of going off on this, but I want to a bit. They'll preach that you must open the door to your heart to let Christ in. It's up to you. You've got to do it. Then, when the Holy Ghost comes down, and Walter has seen this, somebody will latch onto a potbelly stove and start wailing at the top of their lungs, "Oh, God, save him! You just said he couldn't. And now you're praying that he will." That just fascinates me. Well, man is depraved. Man puts as much value on emotions as he will on knowledge, especially the knowledge of this book. Because if you tell them about the Christ of this book, they will look at you, and I've had this happen to me, and I know others have too, and they'll say, "Well, my God wouldn't do something like that. My God's not like that." Well, the God of this book is like that. He saves whom he will. He damns whom he will. And he didn't ask me about either. One way or the other. I was not consulted. God keeps his own counsel. And he works out everything according to the counsel of his will. And the only thing I know about his will is what it says in here. And he says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and on whom I will, I'll harden." And he makes some vessels out of the same lump unto honor, and he makes some vessels out of the same lump unto dishonor. And he didn't ask me about either one. And he didn't ask anybody else. But all things are possible with him. Not in me. Then we have the answer of this gentleman. And we had it straightway. The father of the cried child out and said with tears, first word, "Lord." You got to start right there, or you got nowhere to go. The first word is Lord. He called Jesus Christ Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Where Christ said, "If thou canst believe," if you can, you'll know he's Lord. You'll know he's Lord and you're not. I tongue in cheek, will say at times that yes, I made a decision because I'm an adult male of the species. My wife laughs when I say that. That's why I say it. I will sometimes mention that I'm master of my own domain, but that ain't true either. That's also tongue in cheek. Jesus Christ is my Lord. My God. If you have faith, you know him. You will know him. You can't help but know him. This is the part that most of the world leaves out. They don't really consider him Lord. They'll accept him as Savior. They'll open the door to their heart and let him in and accept him as Savior, but they won't have him as Lord. Why? Because all things are possible to him that believeth, and they like telling him what to do. Man's like that, naturally. This man cried out, Lord. But he didn't stop there. He said, I believe. I believe because you are Lord. And I believe because I know that you are Lord. You were Lord before I believed. You will always be Lord. I have faith because you are God and gave me faith. And Walter, that faith is perfect. My having faith is not perfect. That's another thing I started to go off on. Because I remember what Walter preached a while back. And several times before, and it's still good. Where he says, Christ tells Peter that Satan has desired to sift thee as wheat. He says, but I prayed that thy faith fail not. And it didn't. My believing can fail. But the faith which is of Jesus Christ never fails. Because it's His. He gave it to us. It's perfect. We're not. And that's what this fellow said. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And I looked at that word in the Greek. And it means faithlessness. So here this man is saying, I have faith. Yet I have faithlessness. Walter, I know what that means. I know what that feels like. Romans 7. I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, there's something dwelling in my flesh, and it's no good thing, so I'm assuming probably there's bad things dwelling in my flesh. And one of them is faithlessness. Before Christ gave me life, before Christ gave me faith, before Christ revealed himself to me in his word and in his scripture and in his preaching of the gospel, all I had was unbelief. That's all I had. And I had that naturally because I was a natural man. And the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. All I had was unbelief. I had thoughts about God. You know. They were good thoughts too, Mason. They weren't right, but they were good thoughts. I thought about God like they did Star Wars Force before they ever did Star Wars. Now, it was actually probably more of a wish than anything else, but I hope there was a God because I wanted some order to this world and I didn't see any in it. Well, without God, you can't see the order of this world. You can't know anything of this world truly as it is without knowing the one who created this world. But as I was born, I was full of unbelief. I believed lots of things, but not God. I thought lots of things, but not about the truth. And I loved many things, but not Jesus Christ. So when this man says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief," no one else can help your unbelief but the Lord. Help thou. Walter, we are to mortify our members, but I can't rid myself of unbelief. I cannot undeprave myself. I wish I could. I wish I had been. I wish I was perfect, even though I don't know what perfect means. And I have no idea what it would mean to be that. But Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. I understand that. Even though I don't have a child possessed by a demon, I understand that. Now, a lot of people won't worry about it, but the other thing is, this unbelief, it's mine. The faith is his. The unbelief is mine. He's got no part in it. He's got no claim on it. You know, that's my problem. That's my fault. Faith comes from Christ. Believing comes from his faith, which he gives. But the unbelief is all mine. I can claim that all on my own, even though I don't want to. Because and the reason I can claim it as my own is because it is my own. It's in me. Now I know some people will say, "Ooh, what about Hebrews 3:12?" And I thought about that, and I looked at it, and I said, "Take heed," it says, "take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." But he doesn't stop there in departing from the living God. And I thought about that for a minute, and I come to a conclusion. If you depart from the living God, an evil heart of unbelief is all you got. You don't have faith. You never had faith. They went out from us that it was to be made manifest that they were not of us. If you depart the living God, you don't have faith. So you don't get it and lose it. And I'm not worried about saying that I have unbelief in me, in my flesh. I don't like it, and to be honest, sometimes outside of this room, I have problem confessing my faults. But I know what it means not to believe. But there's a blessing in that, because the only reason I really know what it is not to believe is because now I do believe him. I have faith in Christ because he has given me that perfect faith. It's not my believing that gives me anything, except that it gives me evidence. that I know him. And it's a blessing to believe God, to believe Christ. Even though I have unbelief. I like it a lot better this way than the way I used to be. And if you don't like believing God a lot better than just plain unbelief, you might want to do that thing about finding out what's going on with you. Because knowing Christ is far superior to not knowing Christ. And believing Christ is far superior to not believing Christ. And it's like the difference between darkness and light. That's because it is. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for you, Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ and your faith. Your righteousness, your wisdom, your sanctification, and your justification, and every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights through the work of you, his dear Son. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.